Hello, friends. Guess what? We're having our super special September sale on Sleep Tight Premium through Supercast, and it ends this month. It's the perfect way to help you and your grown-ups ease back into the school year and make bedtime even more special for the whole family. With Sleep Tight Premium, you'll get ad-free episodes, extra stories each month, and for annual subscribers, a personalized birthday message from me. Plus, you'll unlock over 500 stories not available anywhere else, all while supporting the stories your family loves. Don't miss out. It's only for this month. Join us for more dreamy nights. Sign up at the link in our show notes or visit sleeptight.supercast.com. The Rat King by Patty Larson. Susan is having trouble sleeping and often has bad dreams. She can't tell her parents about it because they would worry more than now. Susan has reached out to Tucker, the butterscotch tabby, but she hasn't had any news about where he is or when he might be coming. When she hears a noise in the hall, she closes her eyes and hopes for the best. The Rat King, Chapter 2. She couldn't help the faint squeak that escaped, and gasping, Susan sat up again, staring into the mostly dark of her room. With a low cry of relief, however, and tears now wetting her cheeks for the right reasons, she wrapped her arms around the big butterscotch tabby cat, who joined her and now headbutted her before breaking into his loud and comforting purr. Tucker! She breathed that name into his fur. Where have you been? She knew he couldn't tell her, explain, but it didn't matter now. She was just relieved he was back, even if she couldn't understand him outside the city. His returned embrace was answer enough. I'm having bad dreams. He tensed, fluffy tail thrashing as his whiskers drooped and his ears flattened sideways. She knew immediately she had hurt his feelings, that guilt made him sag like that. She could almost hear him speaking in her head. I'm so sorry, Susan. What are they about? Can I do anything to help? She didn't need for him to talk to know he was worried. It's all right, she said, because now that he was there, it was. They're just dreams. She even believed it with him at her side. He licked her cheek and the tears that escaped as she snuggled him close. One paw stroked at her jaw, as though apologizing for not being there for her when she woke. His bright green eyes, shadowed in the nightlight's glow, were definitely worried and very protective, and made her feel safe. Tucker would never let anything bad happen to her. Of course he was okay. It had only been a week he'd been away. She overreacted. Besides, they were just stupid dreams, and she really needed to stop being a baby about it. She released him from her tight grip, stroking his thick, soft fur all the way down to the tip of his long and bushy tail. Tucker stared up at her, standing with his front paws on her shoulders, headbutting her again, while his purr made her bones rattle. And then he sat down and waited, ears perked as though to say, All right then, I'm here now. Tell me everything, and don't leave a single thing out. Which she did, of course, explaining to Mom and Dad about the nightmares only worried them. Tucker, on the other hand, understood far more than anyone else ever could have, even the other cats. From being bitten by a rat while climbing the big oak in the sacred grove, falling to unconsciousness, to waking in the city in Tucker's room, being taken before the council, all the way to being imprisoned before finding out one of the trusted cats was a traitor. Susan and Tucker had been through a lot together. He'd been there with her when they'd almost drowned, and she'd found him again at the gate when the rats attacked. It was because of Tucker that she was safe, and that Cat City still stood protected and guarded from the enemy that waited on the other side of its walls. And though he had lost a life in the battle, he was the same loving and lovable cat she adored from the instant they'd met, even when she thought he was just an ordinary tabby. Talking to Tucker made her feel better, even if she was concerned that he might feel even more guilty leaving her all week. He didn't show it, kneading his soft paws on her as his purr never faltered, listening carefully to every word she said. Susan yawned at last, drifting off when she finished, giggling a little as his whiskers tickled her cheeks when he stuck his wet nose in her ear and rested his chin on her pillow. "Everything's all right now," she whispered to him. "Thanks, Tucker. I wish you could tell me where you've been." "Maybe one day." She yawned again and closed her eyes, curling up once more, the giant tabby tucked against her with his front paws still rising and falling in a steady rhythm against her shoulder, purr never wavering. On the edge of sleep, Susan smiled at the cat she adored. "Love you," she whispered. "I'm so glad you're here." Then, safe and secure with her best friend beside her, she finally gave in to sleepiness and tipped over into rest. Tucker waited impatiently for Susan to return to slumber, whiskers twitching, but unwilling to show any kind of guilt he felt while she was awake to see it. He would never want her to know just how horrible he felt leaving her for so long. He'd wanted to come back all this week, knew she had to be worried about him, but his duties as a gatekeeper had kept him in the city. "No," he thought, angry as he looked down at his sleeping friend, frustration burning in his chest. "Not true, Tucker. Don't lie to yourself about what's really going on." If Susan knew that the cats had spent a single day talking about what happened, planning their defense, actively promising to be more careful in the future, she might have been happy. Except then Tucker would have to have told her he watched them all go right back to the way things had been, as if the rat attack had never happened. He huffed softly to himself, shaking his head, his eyes narrowing as he did his best not to wake her. He'd woken up the following morning to join the council and Vinny, his best friend and well-deserved new guard captain, in continuing their planning, only to discover Albert, the big red Scottish fold leader, had canceled the meeting. "The rats are gone," Albert had said, while Tucker gaped at him in shock. The rest of the council not meeting Tucker's eyes, not even his own mother. "We're safe in the city. It's time to put all of this behind us." "Behind us?" Tucker had lost his temper. He wasn't proud of it. His tail thrashed once on Susan's comforter as he thought about what had happened, still angry, though it had been almost a week now. "The rats are still out there. They won't stop trying to take Cat City. We have to be ready. This city has protected itself for centuries," Albert had said, cutting Tucker off. "And we will continue to do so. Now, Tucker, son of Cynthia, it's time for you to return to your duties and leave this to us." He'd been forced to exit the council building in Center Square. He'd done so, Vinny on his heels, shocked that even his friend seemed unconcerned. "I know you're worried," the giant mane coon had said. "I won't let anything happen." Tucker hadn't responded, running off. His plan to return to the surface had been cut short, however, at the gate itself. "You have duties here," Captain Monster had said, the burly silver tabby blocking Tucker's exit to go back above to Susan. And then assigned him the dirtiest, hardest jobs he could ever have taken on, from cleaning out the basement of the gate tower, to lugging stones to repair a decorative wall, to weeding out a garden patch. All done alone, and all jobs beneath a gatekeeper, in Tucker's estimation. Never mind trying to gain his mother's help either. Now that Cynthia was on the council, the white Persian was even more dismissive than ever and refused to hear him out. "Do your job," she snapped at him at last, "or accept reassignment. The choice is yours." Tucker had done as he was told, moping and irritated, keeping to himself for that whole long and awful 6 days. He'd laid low, staying out of everyone's way, biding his time. They were keeping him from Susan on purpose. He was positive about that. But why? It didn't matter. It only made him sullen and bitter, and even his father couldn't snap him out of it with an offer of a fresh tuna sandwich for dinner. But rather than help him as always, George just ducked his head and left Tucker alone to deal with it by himself. The instant Monster was distracted, lulled by Tucker's obedience, he made his escape. With all of his tasks completed, the gate commander wandered off to deal with something. Tucker had marched up to the magical main gate and, without a word to anyone, walked through, his blue magic triggering it to open. He'd run all the way here in the darkness, slipping through the small broken window in the back of the house and down to the basement, before dashing upstairs, pushing his way through the closed door with the broken lock that Mom and Dad thankfully hadn't fixed yet, not stopping until he reached Susan's room. It felt like he hadn't seen her in forever, though the moment her arms wound around him, relief and calm returned. That was, until she told him about her nightmares. He could have been here helping her. The bad dreams were their fault, the cat's, not hers. She shouldn't have had to deal with them alone. And it sounded like the nightmares weren't getting better either with time. If anything, from what she'd explained, they were getting stronger, clearer, with more details added every night. He couldn't help but shiver in regret he'd ever let her be alone, and swore to himself no matter what happened, he never would again. Susan was dreaming of the rats, more so the Rat King. It had to be his voice she heard. The attack she'd been through a week ago, the bite that allowed her to hear the cats and their enemies, left a deeper mark on her than they'd known. he understood that the human magic she carried was awake, if only underground. But could it be affecting her above, too? Nightmares were one thing, troubling enough, but understandable, yes. Still, what if they were more than just bad dreams? No one would listen to him, though, would they? He was sure of that. Or was he? Maybe this was the warning they needed to bring them out of whatever denial they were in right now. Sure, maybe he was overreacting because he felt guilty. But if Susan was still connected to the rats, the king himself, and was somehow overhearing plans he was making against Cat City? Tucker didn't want to leave her. He'd already promised himself he wouldn't, after all. He even considered waking her and making her come with him. But seeing her sleeping peacefully, knowing she'd been so troubled, he couldn't bring himself to rouse her. He had to try for her sake, for the city. With his heart beating its own fast pace that Susan would have recognized from her nightmare experience, he crept out of her room and downstairs to the basement again, out the window and across the lawn to the woods and the oak in the grove. His magic tapped into the gate, and it welcomed him immediately, blue glow lighting his fur as he scampered through, determined yet again to make the council listen. Why did this feel like he was repeating the same thing all over again, just like last time? What would it take to convince them that the rats weren't done with Cat City? And that is the end of this chapter. Good night. Sleep tight.